This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Selamat pagi, salam sejahtera to everybody. Kuala Lumpur, Klang Valley and Malaysia and beyond. It is the 18th of November 2019. I am Wong Xiaoning, joined by Khoo Soo Chuang. No, actually, it's the other way, it's the other way around.
You just want to pretend to be me for the day, Chuang.
How's my bahasa? It's right, isn't
it's
it?
Not bad. It's not bad. Not bad at all.
Put on my best radio voice, actually.
Almost RTM. Almost RTM. RTM standard.
That was actually the tone I was going for.
Oh, that was your aspiration, is it?
Okay, so here we are, yeah. Another dollar, as the Hong Kongers would say, right?
Oh my goodness, Khoo Soo Chuang. How was your weekend?
It was actually all right, actually. We went on a little journey to Klang Valley, to KL City yesterday.
I like the fact that the KL City is like a journey.
It is a journey, man. You know, the traffic jam. But we took MRT, that was actually quite nice.
Okay, yeah. Because then you don't have to worry about parking and all that, you know.
That place is booming, man. Who said tourism is on a slump? It's booming at the seams. There are all kinds of people there, all colour and stripe.
That's good because, you know, we need tourism. We need a multiplier effect. If we could get to where Thailand is in terms of contribution to GDP, we are almost there.
That's right. And guess what? Everything was on sale.
Well, it is the end of the year. It's also a sign of times. Retail is not great. So the malls might be full, but if you notice, not that many people are carrying shopping bags.
That's true. But one thing you've got to watch out for, as you come out of the MRT next to Lot 10, there's this amazing ice cream place. This guy is really good. He's really, really good. You can check it out. He's a real performer.
Oh, the Turkish ice cream.
He'll give you an ice cream and then he'll take it back. It's a lot of fun.
Anyway,
what's on the docket?
Well, I'm going to be talking about bullying, but on a different level altogether.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so bullying happens everywhere, especially so in politics. So what should you do when eggs are being thrown at you?
I talk about how some locals want to censor some international content. But in the meantime, we will be talking about how there will be a no-go list for international travellers. All this coming up after this, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Jimmy Eat World with The Middle. And before that, Huey Lewis in the news with Stuck With You. And I'm actually not in a bad way stuck with you, Wong Xiaoning. It's very nice to be in the morning with you. But we've got this little repartee thing going, haven't we?
We do, uncle and auntie. Where we pretend to be slightly younger than we really are.
That's right. And actually, a lot of people do this, right? As we enter the end of the year, a lot of people do their planning for holidays and travel. November, December period. And this interesting item from Fodors, actually. You know what that travel guide?
Is it Fodors or Fodors? That's why
Fodors,
I can never...
Fodors. Depends if you're British or American.
Okay.
If you're Malaysian, you go, Fodora.
Fodor.
Well, they've issued a list saying that if you want to do the world a favour and be more environmentally conscious, don't go to the cities. Cities like Angkor Wat, Barcelona, Bali, the Matterhorn in Switzerland, over tourism, overcrowding, I think littering, obviously, strain on sanitation and driving prices up, all those kind of things.
And making life miserable for the locals.
For the locals, right?
Right, yeah. I think that's one thing that we can't deny.
Do you pay attention to these things? I mean, do you think there's heed to be paid for these lists?
A little bit, but then at the same time, I'm guilty of it, right? I've been to some of these places before.
Yeah.
So now I tell other people don't go. That's not very fair, right?
Yeah, it's like you cut down all the forests and all the trees and then you get yourself really rich and then they tell the rest of the world, don't cut down your trees, don't cut down your forests.
It's bad for the environment, right? After we've done it,
we're really rich, but you stay poor.
yeah. So I don't know, to me it smacks a bit hypocritical.
Hypocritical,
especially
yes.
If you are still a global traveler. You still enjoy traveling. So yeah, maybe now it's not a strain. You go to place A and it's not a strain. But eventually it does. But you have contributed to that place becoming popular. You know what I mean?
So that's the flip side to this, because if you are a local and you rely on tourism in that particular city, right, you rely on the tourist dollar. And if suddenly people stop coming because they think that you're overcrowding, then what do you do, right? How do you make ends meet?
I don't know. There's always this difficult balance, I think, everybody's trying to straddle. On one hand, you do realise the importance of tourism, like we just said, at 6 o'clock, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Malaysia, we need it. We need the tourist dollar.
That's
we need it to be a major contributor to GDP. But at some point, it then becomes a pain, right? Because the locals don't like it. It creates environmental issues. So, you know, and then everybody wants this, what they call high-quality tourism. But is there such a thing? I mean, how do you decide? Unless you do the Bhutan thing, for example.
Yeah, and Bhutan does a very good job of restricting travellers.
There is no quota, actually. There's this impression that there's no quota.
No, there is, isn't there?
No, there isn't. But what it is that everybody has to spend a minimum of $250 a day.
I did some research, actually. I did think that there was a quota.
No, the quota exists in terms of the number of hotels available and the flights. So you can't even get in.
So there's a natural quota.
There's a natural quota because there's only one airline in. So when you go there, right, there is hardly any. I mean, most of the people honestly are older because older people have more money. Right? Yeah. Seriously, jokes aside. Yeah. So, and then
you can only visit three cities anyway. The rest of the country you can't see.
Yeah, it's pretty closed up. Thimphu, Paru, one more place. And on top of it, you know, because it's high net worth, of course, they're not like dirtying the environment. They're not playing hippie music. Because you know what they honestly say? They're worried they don't want to be Nepal part two.
Correct. And I just come back from Nepal. It's a mess.
Yeah. But then how do you balance this? Because not everybody can have this $250 US.
Well, not every country doesn't have GDP. Bhutan doesn't have GDP. They've got a national happiness index. And they don't care about how much money comes into the city or to the country.
Well, they do, but they just want it to be high quality because they realize they're a small nation. So what are the options for the rest of the world? For example, like Malaysia. I mean, there are complaints in Georgetown, right?
Absolutely. I come from there. It's a mess.
Yeah. So if we bring it back home and we discuss this, on one hand, if we didn't have tourism, if we didn't have the UNESCO heritage site, how would Georgetown look today? Probably more messy and dilapidated.
Definitely. I agree. If we didn't get UNESCO in those days, my goodness, Georgetown is going south in a big way.
It was, right? The buildings were like falling into ruin.
There was rubbish all over the streets.
Yeah. So now you have this. But then the residents say, hey, what's happening, man? Too many tourists every weekend. So
a bit like Venice and Barcelona, right?
Yeah. So how do you balance this then, Chuang?
Well, as a traveller, you'll be more discerning in how you and where you go. Maybe there's some certain habits you adopt when you go overseas.
Yeah, don't treat people's houses like an Instagram spot, you know. I mean, respect that. I always cannot figure out why people are so blatant. You know, like some of these shop houses that actually people still stay. They treat it like as if it's like a photo studio.
You're like some zoo exhibit, right?
Yeah. I'm like, hello.
You're washing your face and someone's like stuck a smartphone through the window like, hello, hello.
You know, it's like, hello, auntie. But, you know, it's not nice. Don't do that. Just walk quietly by. Don't leave your litter. Don't make too much noise. People still live here.
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, I mean, I guess this is a good question to ask people, right? 018-789-8899 or tweet BFM Radio at BFM Radio. How would you approach traveling internationally in 2020? BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Blue Suede and Hooked on a Feeling. Now, this item from Malay Mail Online, Wong Chau Ding, about how the Malaysia National Film Development Corporation, FINAS, has reportedly, according to Harian Metro, citing CEO Ahmad Idam, Ahmad Nazri, as claiming that parents are worried over uncensored content over the internet, specifically streaming services like Netflix. And FINAS is actually stepping in, reportedly, to saying that they should and would, if they could, censor Netflix. What are you talking about that?
I mean, how are you going to do it in the
I think
first
more
place?
Importantly, how, right?
Yeah, because how? In today's worldwide global web, right? You can find anything and everything.
Global web, yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's true.
It's all out there.
Yeah.
There's nothing much you can do about it. I mean, even if, let's say you officially censor stuff. I mean, come on. If you have half a brain, you'll figure a way around it. Even in China, for example, right?
China tries to block YouTube, Facebook.
But people have found ways to get around it with what they call VPNs.
VPNs and VPLs and stuff like
that. Yeah, so look, how difficult is it if you really, really want to watch, let's say, uncensored content out there?
It's quite easy, right?
For years, people were just pirating rubbish, downloading whatever they wanted. You know, without even like thinking twice about it.
Okay, so assuming that the how is easily solved, intrinsically, right, in concept, do you think censoring is good? Because
no.
I think there are certain, heaven forbid, that I'm going to say this, but there are certain merits to doing it because otherwise your child at 12 years old, 11 years old, knows all about all those things, sex, violence, you know.
Rock and roll.
Drugs, yeah.
I don't know.
Even that day, I was letting my kids watch a Forrest Gump, right? I didn't realize it's 18.
Is it?
Yes.
But, okay.
I thought Forrest Gump was a great show.
You're the supposed adult in the room.
Conceptually.
But jokes aside, you're the one with kids. Mm-hmm. Don't you think that role is actually the parents' role? To see, no joke, no pun intended, to see what the kids are watching?
Yes.
Of course, your kids definitely smart. You know, they'll find a way to watch whatever they want without you in the room. But isn't then the point to have that conversation with your children? Because honestly, how much can you protect and censor them? So, there's two aspects to this. Censorship for the kids and then censorship as adults. Okay, censorship for adults, I think, is just a waste of time. Adults should be, adults.
Yeah.
So let's say really those who might be harmed or impacted by the supposed bad content on Netflix, how are you as a parent really going to protect them?
There's a balancing act, right? You have to play, all parents have to play this. You don't want to overexpose your children, but then to underexpose them does them no justice when they become a little bit older. So I am more of the camp where I'm just like, there is no forbidden fruit. This all out there. And, you know, my parents, for example, my father was a voracious reader, and we had a whole library full of books, right? Or his library, all kinds of books, you know. I was my bedroom was the library. He let me read everything. So as a result, I was never...
So you had Lady Chatterley's Lover by 12.
D.H. Lawrence, yeah, everything. All kinds, all manner, colour and stripe. Everything was there.
Well, look how well you turned out,
John. I know, right? So I don't know, man. No forbidden fruit means no mystery. No mystery means no shenanigans.
Yeah, but then in a way, you have had this conversation with your kids.
No, not really. No, I just say, look, that's nonsense. Just watch something else, more education.
You kind of deflect, You kind of.
Yeah. Are you learning something from this? Are you progressing your brain? If not, why are you watching this?
That's a very clever way of putting it. Rather than no, don't watch. And then just leave it there. And then the kid that tell you definitely will go back and watch it.
Yeah, but then nowadays on YouTube, the content creators, right? This entire channel is dedicated to one game, like Beyblades, for example, or Nerf guns, right? Completely inane stuff, but there's millions of subscribers among kids.
Yeah, but so what do you do then? I mean, you can't censor stuff
limit
like that.
Limit, 1-2
then
hours.
For all the, you know, the sex, drug and rock and roll, what do you do? You talk to your kids?
Yeah, we say that 18 you don't watch, you know, 13 can. But then, you know, come on, you can't monitor your kids 24/7, can you?
No, you can't. So I think the main thing to me, I'm not a parent, hands up, I think to have that conversation, right?
Yeah.
Because like you say, you can't watch what your kids do 24/7.
Nor should you, or can you realistically censor?
Yeah, and I don't know whether you really want to watch your kids 24/7. I mean, they're going to go out there in the worldwide, in the world, and what? Not much you can do after that. And what happens in school when they have their conversations? Yeah. You can't control that either.
Yeah, and eventually they're going to become adults, right? Yeah. So they got to have their own brain cells, right?
Yeah, so I don't know why the government... I mean, why there's this talk that now they want to baby us.
Well, that's... Yeah, so these are manifestations of Malaysia's power distance index, right? We have the highest in the world, and it's all sorts of things like this, from an overbearing government to an authoritarian prime minister, right, to draconian laws, to cultural and religious norms, which basically dictate how we live our lives. And
but
this
the focus is
one.
All wrong. So if you want to nanny state us, why don't we have better healthcare? Why don't we have better housing, social housing? Better social services. Nanny us in those departments, not unlike what we watch online. This is ridiculous, what we read.
Such a good point. I couldn't have said it any better myself. But again, you know, tell us what you think. Social media is open. WhatsApp is 018-789-8899 or the Twitter is at BFM Radio, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Elton John with I'm Still Standing. And yes, the Pakatan Harapan Coalition is still standing, even though there was a bit of a seismic shock over the weekend. But very much still in the vein of politics, this item from Malaysia Kini about how PKR lawmaker, parliamentarian P. Babakaran lodged a police report. His Toyota Velfire was splattered with eggs in KL a few nights ago. In fact, 2 nights ago. A lot of rumination about what's going on, and I think there was some speculation that this is because of the desire, reportedly, that Tian Chua should be the one who sits in Batu MP, despite the fact that Babakaran is the one who was voted in by the people. What's your take?
I mean, the people voted him in legitimately. Let him finish his term. Yeah, I don't understand why we need to remove him. What is the reason?
So the
doesn't make any sense.
So if there was a dissent, it's actually the egg throwers who were basically Tian Chua supporters. Is that right?
Or we don't know.
We don't know.
I mean, Tian Chua has come out to say he doesn't approve of this.
Right. And so he should.
Yeah, and he says stop it. Which he should. And he's not the only one, I think. If I'm not wrong, Hannah Yeo has come out to say, you know, this is not acceptable, right? You just don't throw eggs at people. And come on, he won legitimately. It was a fair and free elections. Just because Tian Chua recently was, you know, he was vindicated, he can now run as MP. He basically should do what Anwar did, wait for a constituents to be
and
vacant.
And still continues to wait, right?
No, if- I mean, he's now PD MP, right? Anwar Ibrahim.
Correct, but he's still waiting for the top seat. And he remains a PM in waiting.
Yeah. But the point is, basically, you just wait. You can either wait for GE15 or you wait for another seat to be empty.
So is this an indication of the maturity or not of Malays in politics and voters? Is this an indication of where sentiment is with regard to the Batu seat? Is this a vindication of, or is this an indication of Tian Chua's support within the electorate? What
or
does it mean?
Or could it just be a bunch of naughty people seeing? Because his Wellfire has that plaque which says MP.
Yeah.
So maybe some people just thought, I'm not happy with the government. I'm not happy with anything.
Maybe, right? Maybe.
I just want to be cheeky and just throw some eggs.
Well, in the first place as well, I was just wondering how come Prabhakar, he's 23 years old, by the way, 24 years old, right? How come he had a Wellfire? So the Wellfires are expensive cars.
But we had this discussion, right, Chuang? Did you go digging?
No. The public don't know yet. So apparently MPs are allowed, tax-free status on cars?
Yeah, so they get an allowance on a car. But aside from the Wellfire, I mean, is this behaviour becoming of Malaysians to do this? I mean, just because it's ridiculous, right?
Is it becoming of Hong Kongers and young people to protest against the, the machinations of government? I think basically what is happening with... Okay, this is could be too broad a generalization, but what's happening in Batu with eggs against the Wellfire, it just shows that there's dissent and there's voter discontent all over the world. And it's no different in Batu. It's no different in Hong Kong. It is no different in the UK. People are just a little bit disappointed with their lawmakers, and they're showing their dissatisfaction in any way possible.
So they start throwing eggs.
Yeah, whatever it is. Throwing eggs, shooting bows and arrows in Hong Kong.
Which is very alarming. I mean, I'm not a big fan of violence in any shape and form. And even this egg throwing, it just seems very juvenile.
Okay, so what would it take for people to start throwing eggs or to start shooting arrows from their bow? Extreme discontent, right?
Yeah, but when do you draw the line, you see?
Well, if you have no other right of recourse or no other recourse, then what you do?
Well, you could turn up a GA15 and register your unhappiness. I suppose, okay, I'm not against protesting. I think that's a civil right to go out there and, you know, register your unhappiness. But what you do when you're out there is the big question.
Correct. So if you go out there and protest on your, you know, your soapbox, for example, and you get you make no change whatsoever, right? Then what you do? You step it up. It's like the Arab Spring. After a while, a lot of people take to the streets and just say, enough is enough, right?
So my worry is, okay, now it's eggs. Then where does it go?
Correct. So what do the lawmakers do then? How do they change their ways? How do they improve? I mean, look at the ringgit. Look at the KLCI. Enough said. Look at opportunities. Look at employment opportunities.
Yeah.
Right?
I suppose actually, if you ask me, there seems to be this vacuum in terms of MPs turning up to talk to their constituents.
Yeah. Maybe right? Maybe there's a communication
there needs
there
to
as
be
well.
More engagement. And I think really at the end of it, you... And this is reflected in the Tanjung Pia outcome.
And
there needs to be something done, something visible. So instead of just, you know, chit-chat, we do ABC. I mean, what has happened?
Real measures?
Yeah. For example, I think the big one, the easier one, is education. 2 years later,
I know. That's so disappointing,
right?
There is
the existing education blueprint. Don't get me wrong. But doesn't it feel like we just seem to be flapping our arms backwards. Yeah, our arms and nothing happens?
Okay, so we're going to be spending a lot of time this morning talking about Tanjung Pia. There's a poll going as well. The poll will be going up soon, so you can show your indicate your sentiments there as well. But yeah, I think the larger question is what does this all mean for Malaysian politics and lawmakers? Tell us again what you think, 0878898899, or tweet us at BFM Radio, BFM89.9. BFM89.9, that was The National with A System Only Dreams in Total Darkness. I wonder whether that track was actually composed for the Malaysian political situation. The system dreams in total darkness. I mean, the fact that Liu Jin Tong has to run a survey to understand what happened at Tanjung Pia is just a bit indicative, right, of
the
removal from reality.
He should go and ask the 15,000 people, right?
The biggest majority in any by-election in Malaysian history, right? And that is huge.
Yeah, it's really indicative of something and something we're definitely going to talk about
Correct.
Later today, right?
Okay, so in the meantime, though, we asked for comments from what you thought, the public, about the FINA's desire to possibly censor Netflix. And there's been a whole ream of comments from listeners. Darth Vade suggesting that in this day and age, censorship isn't available in all shapes and forms. You need to embrace and then teach. There had to be more education to our middle... to our kids about the good and bad and right and wrong. So I think, again, it starts with the parents, right?
Yeah.
Always.
And this is from Saw. He says, this is quite funny, his perspective. Look for a place to cut government expenses. Look no other place than the censorship board. We don't need the government to tell us what to watch and leave parenting to the parents.
Yeah, and we also asked whether the burden of censoring should fall to the government or to the parents. And someone from, I think Plus 61 is Jakarta, actually, isn't it?
Right?
Plus 61? No, Australia.
Australia.
A balance of both is probably important. If we tell, in the first place, someone from Australia is listening to The Morning Run.
Mm.
That's interesting. Hello, Australia.
G'day,
mate. How you going? Balance of both is probably important. If we tell kids yes and no without providing any reasoning behind it, we're not raising critical thinkers in this world. If we're censoring contents when we have them in our sites, then how do we trust the kids to decipher whether content is appropriate or not when they're not under the supervision of adults? So in other words, give some autonomy to the kids.
Yeah.
And quite rightly so as well.
Exactly. And then another person who's looking at ways to cut budgets. Finas, I'd rather move Finas censorship budget to MCMC to combat the far more dangerous, dodgy and malicious content on social as well as formal media.
Yeah, actually, there's a point there because MCMC is the gateway to all IPs. If they, there's a lot of dodgy sites out there. So if they can just make them, render them invisible, then there's some direction there.
Yeah.
Newspapers. I've got the Malaysian Reserve open in front of me. It's all about Tanjung PI. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4 is all about the KLCI. There's some stuff on the Al Raji MIDF merger. I think Bank Negara, the ball is in their court in terms of deliberating the decision. NSD front page is all about a decaying heritage. And of course, page 2, page 3, page 4, Tanjung PI. Chinese and Malay vote banks return to MCA. It seems that Malaysians have realised the power that they wield, the power of the vote.
I think that's a power that we should exercise
every few
years and be fearless about it.
Correct,
right?
Yeah.
The Star front page, winds of change may be blowing. That's, of course, all about Tanjung PR. And this is very cute article from Guns to Roses. 9 couples say I do in a simple mass wedding ceremony at the police training centre to cut costs.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. So go to the cop shop to get married. That's all right.
No, they were cops.
Oh, they were cops.
Yeah,
they
decided to save some money by doing a big ceremony. Okay. See, everybody's cutting expenses.
Everybody. Yeah. Maybe you should start with finance, right? No,
yes.
Just joking. What else is out there?
Well, The Edge has this article on plantation firms. Top front page, plantation firms set to see best quarter since 2017.
Okay.
Something we're going to talk about later.
Yeah.
But is the question this? Is the answer this? Because on the back of analysts just cutting, you know, their expectations quarter after quarter.
Yeah, off a low base thing,
yeah,
right?
Or is it really, really much better CPO prices?
2,600 is not great, historically speaking.
It's much better than the average for a long time. The average has been hovering around 2 to 2.2 for quite a while already. Of course, it doesn't reach the peaks we saw in 1997.
4+, right?
Yeah, during the last financial crisis. Inside the Edge Daily also, we have this quite spectacular picture of how things have become so bad in Hong Kong, which is Hong Kong police vehicle up in flames.
I saw this picture in the Financial Times. This university student with a gas mask and shooting an arrow from a boat. Actually, his pose is actually very good. Theoretically, it's a very good pose, but it just shows how bad and apocalyptic Hong Kong is becoming. Okay, we are 5 minutes to seven. We're just a few minutes away from the more serious end of the Morning Run, so stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.